In my opinion, the closing prayer at a service like this ought to be relatively short, and usually it is. But I'm also of the opinion that there is one statement that is in that closing prayer at least 75% of the time. And I have reference to the statement, "Dear Lord, help us to take what we have learned and apply it in our lives." And I've often wanted to ask sometime the next week, did we take what we learned and apply it in our lives? Perhaps too many of us sometimes are like the man described in the reading that we heard a few minutes ago from James 1. He looks in the mirror and he sees what he needs to correct, but he leaves and he forgets and doesn't do anything about it. Whereas we need to be like the one that's described in verse 22, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only." And the one described in verse 25 who looks in the mirror and sees what he needs to correct, and then he doesn't forget, but he applies the word of God in his life. Which one describes you today? Dear God, help us to take what we learn and apply it in our lives. As I thought about that a few days ago, I went back and reviewed the sermons that have been preached here for the past 6 months. And I selected 9 of these that are listed on the back of your announcement sheet. And I want to review just a little bit this morning. This is not so much a sermon as it is a review to try to get us all to think. To think as individuals about our own lives, me about mine and you about yours. Now, I realize that some of you will not recognize some of those subjects because they were preached on Sunday night. But we want to think about them anyway. The first 3 were preached by Brother Powell. In fact, the first one was preached, I believe, 3 weeks ago, in which he preached both Sunday morning and Sunday night on the same subject. He talked about the importance of marrying a Christian. He emphasized the concept that's taught in passages like Matthew 19 and Ephesians 5, that the husband and the wife are literally to be one flesh. And that there is to be mutual love in the home setting. Those who are teenagers who listen to those sermons should have been impressed with the importance of selecting the right friends, selecting the right kind of dates, and especially thinking very seriously about one's friend or one's date when one becomes serious about that relationship. Those of us who are married where both the husband and the wife are Christians should have thought about what we can do to make our relationships even better, how we can help each other go to heaven, and how we can help each other even enjoy the abundant life while we live here. Those who are married where one is a Christian and one is not should have thought about trying to work to come together on God's Word. Maybe the next week spent some time sitting down and talking about it in a kind and loving way. What can be done to bring us together to where we can have that unity and that oneness in every family? And have God in our families. I would guess that Sunday, probably in the closing prayer, whoever led it said, "Dear God, help us to take what we have learned today and apply it in our lives." Did you? Have you done any thinking in the last few weeks about your relationship with your husband or your wife? And what you can do to make that a better relationship? And young people, have you been thinking about what you can do to select the right kind of friends and associates? And to seek to try to have a Christian home and a Christian family? Did we apply it? Another lesson that David brought recently was on the subject of Nicodemus. He discussed Nicodemus at different times in his life, but he especially emphasized the conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus as recorded in John 3, where Nicodemus boldly came to Jesus at a time when many others maybe would not. And where Jesus told him, if you're going to be in the kingdom of God, you must be born again. And described in detail the birth that he's talking about. Not talking about the physical birth, but he said that birth where you're born of water and of the Spirit. And he said, Nicodemus, you must be born again if you're going to be in the kingdom of God. One of the purposes of that lesson was to try to cause all of us to think about whether or not we have really been born again, whether we are in the kingdom of God, whether we have the blessings, those wonderful blessings that are associated with being a citizen in God's kingdom. Did you think about that the following week and since then? And especially if you're one who has not been scripturally baptized into the kingdom and into Christ, have you done anything during the last few days to think about that and to apply the lesson that was delivered in your own life? Another lesson that David brought recently was on one lost sheep. And by the way, even though I was not here when some of these lessons were delivered, I've heard them because I try to come back from a meeting and immediately listen to the sermon that was preached so that I can keep in mind overall picture of what is preached and trying to plan what is preached from this pulpit. But recently, David also preached a lesson on one lost sheep based on Luke 15. He related to us the story about the shepherd who had 99 in the fold that were safe, but who had one that was lost. And how important it was to have some concern about that lost sheep. How that shepherd took the time to go out and find that lost sheep and bring the one back to be with the 99. There is a strong possibility, at least, that in the closing prayer that day, we prayed, Lord, help us to take what we have learned and apply it in our lives. Did we? How many erring brothers and sisters in Christ have you contacted since that day? I would guess that if especially the local members were to look around today, and those of you that have been here for a while, you will remember some people that used to sit over here on one of these seats or over here on one of these seats or back there on one of those seats who's not been here for a while. Maybe even somebody that you see during the week in the community or at business or at school. Maybe even sometimes you young folks who usually do a good job in inviting people. Well, think of somebody that's not been here for a little while. One lost sheep is important. You know of somebody that has been a faithful Christian, been involved in worship, but hasn't been here for a while? Lord, help us to apply what we have learned. Have you said anything to one person in the last 6 weeks to encourage them to come back or to come to Christ? Back a few weeks ago, I preached a lesson on the subject of dead calves. told a little story in that lesson to begin with about the little boy who had three calves and complained all the time about having to get up early to feed them and spend all of his money to buy their feed, and then all three of them died. And he didn't have to spend any time or any money on his calves. And we applied that lesson in principle to our families, our businesses, our schools, our communities, and the church. And the main idea in the lesson was, are we allowing ourselves sometimes to fail to appreciate what we have until we lose it? And I had hoped, at least, that it would cause all of us to go home and think about how valuable our spouses and our children and our parents really are. Maybe even to appreciate our teachers and our pupils, our bosses and our employees at work, before we lose them and then realize the value that was there. And probably that day we prayed, Lord, help us to take what we've learned and apply it in our everyday lives. Did we? Have you as a parent said anything to your son or daughter to let them know how much you appreciate them? And as you've had to give them more money in the last few days, have you at least thought, I'm glad I have them and that they need something? Have we applied this in our relationship with people on the job, at school, in the church? Have we come to appreciate our blessings anymore? Have we applied what we learned? Probably in the last year at least, I have not received more positive comments on a lesson than the one that I preached on if Eli could parent again. I think the reason for that is that it sort of touched all of us as parents and even as grandparents. We went back and studied about Eli back there in the book of Samuel. We noticed how he lost his two boys. They rebelled against him. He even lost them in death. And we tried to analyze that passage and see what he had done that was wrong and what he had not done that he should have done. And came to the basic conclusion that Eli should have done more to teach his boys the principles of honesty and decency and morality, and he should have used more of the right kind of discipline. And probably in our closing prayer, we prayed, Dear Lord, help us to take what we have learned and applied in our everyday lives. Did we? Have you, as a dad or a mother, used any more time in the last few weeks to sit down and talk with and pray with your sons and daughters? Have we even as grandparents thought about how we might be more helpful to our children in helping them with their children? Have we come to realize how important it is for us to sit down and talk with and help develop the attitudes of our children? Maybe sometimes a shooting in Colorado gets our attention more than God's word that is so plain. But even with everything that's happening to get our attention in areas like this, are we taking what we learn and applying it in our everyday lives? The first Sunday night of 1999, I preached on the subject of planning the play. In fact, I think we called the lesson Let's Huddle. We talked about how, in a sense, our work in the church, in the business, in the family, is somewhat like this football team that gets back in the huddle and talks about what they're going to do and how they're going to do it, and plan the play, and then get out there and proceed with it. And very probably in the closing prayer at that service, we prayed, Lord, help us to take what we have learned and applied in our everyday lives. Did we do it? Did we as preachers stop and think about what we need to do, the elders what they need to do, each deacon what he needs to do in planning his work and performing his work, each Bible teacher, just each Christian? We talked about planning and we talked about proceeding and probably even prayed that God would help us to do it, but have we done it? Are we applying it? Sometime within the last few months, a lesson was presented on shut in or shut out, in which we talked about the number of shut-ins that we have associated with this congregation. We have a large number. And I made the point that though we talk about them as being shut in a sense, sometimes they're shut out. They're at home, they're shut out from the community, they're shut out from the congregation, they're shut out from the activities that are going on, and made a special appeal for us to do more than we have done. To go by and visit, or to call one of our shut-ins to see if we can go by and pick up some medicine, or to pick up some food, or just to let them know that we care. I think it's been about 6 or 7 weeks since we discussed that. And probably prayed, dear God, help us to take what we have learned and applied in our everyday lives. How many of us have? How many shut-ins have you even contacted by phone in the last 6 weeks? Another lesson that we talked about recently, I entitled A Package Deal. Some of you will remember that especially that morning I said that the contribution that we have as a whole, although I'm thankful for it and appreciative of it, is not as important as what I'm doing and what you're doing as an individual. And the idea was that we need to unwrap the package. Instead of just looking at the Henderson Church or any church anywhere, we need to learn to look at ourselves as individuals. I remember one thing I did in that lesson when I was talking about giving. I held my hand out like this, and I said, each one of us needs to remember that when we give on the Lord's Day, that we're saying to God, this is how I have been prospered. And I really think that point was well received, because our contribution has gone up and stayed up, and I appreciate that. But I continue to emphasize, because I believe this so strongly, that the growth of the church is going to take place when we as individuals look at ourselves, look at what we're doing as individuals and how we are reaching out to serve God and serve others. Not just a package deal. God looks at each one of us, even knows the number of hairs on the head of each of us. And hoped with a lesson like that to get us all to go and sit down. I even suggested that you take a piece of paper and sit down and put on that paper some of your blessings and what you're doing and look at yourself. And we probably prayed, Lord, help us to take what we've learned and apply it in our everyday lives. Did we? And then just a couple weeks ago, I believe on a Sunday night, I preached the lesson, Baptized Into What? Which may be one of the most important lessons that's been delivered here because of its content. We saw the question in Acts 19 where it was asked, into what were you baptized? Asked by Paul, and then let Paul answer it in three passages. Galatians 3:27, baptized into Christ. Romans 6:3-4, baptized into his death. And 1 Corinthians 12:13, baptized into his body. And made the point as clear as I could make it, that if you've not been baptized into Christ, into his death, and into his body, you've not been scripturally baptized. And if you thought you were saved before you were baptized, got a problem with this. and ask every one of us at the end of that lesson to stop and think about, have we been baptized into Christ? Have we been scripturally baptized? Some of you have never been baptized. Did you think about that lesson? And all of us who have been baptized need to go back and think, have I done exactly what God wanted me to do? Not to put me into some organization of man-made, not to show something I've already done, but to obey God. Have I done what God told me to do and asked me to do and commanded me to do? Are we applying what we're preaching? Let me put it another way. Are we practicing what we're praying? Dear God, help us to take what we have learned and apply it in our lives. Are we? Are we practicing what we're praying? I think we need to think about that. And especially at this particular time. If you've not been baptized into Christ, or you're one of those lost sheep that's gone astray and has not come back, you need to think so seriously, even today, about applying what you've learned and come to Christ as together we stand and sing.
Because He will save you, though your sins as crimson glow. If you give your heart to Jesus, He will make it white as snow. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come today. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come, come today. Come to Jesus, do not tarry. Enter in at mercy's gate. Oh, delay not till the morrow, lest thy coming be too late. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come, come today. Come to Jesus, dying sinner, other Savior there is none. He will share with you His glory when His pilgrimage is done. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come today. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come, come today.
Be seated, please. Let's keep the same opening and sing number 600.
Would you live for Jesus and be always pure and good? Would you walk with Him within the narrow road? Would you have Him bear your burden, carry all your load? Let Him have His way with thee. His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see. 'Twas best for Him to have His way with thee.
Reader Oldham, would you come in a moment and lead us in a word of prayer? Alicia Lucas comes this morning saying, in the past few months I have said and done things that I know are wrong. I've not been a Christian example to my friends and others. I ask for the forgiveness of my friends, family, and more importantly, God. Let's pray together with Felicia.
Our Father, we do pray for this one. In fact, we pray for all of us because most of us can make the same confession that we're not doing as much as we could do and ought to do. We do pray that we may truly put into practice that we're reading and hearing and studying and learning, and that we'll become better examples to others. We're thankful for the influences upon her and for this open heart, this willing spirit to acknowledge misgivings, failures, and to ask thy forgiveness and the forgiveness of others against whom she may have sinned. May we forgive, and we know that thou wilt forgive always. So help us truly to be growing and maturing every day and overcoming temptation, becoming more like Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen.